Hey, it's Jared Gomes, and I love chatting about local events, especially people who document them and create local art. I had the chance to sit down with a film director, so here they are.
My name is Daryl Hogan, and I'm the director of Ice and Iron.
Tell me about the documentary, if people don't know about it.
The documentary, what we wanted to do was tell the history of the Numbum 24-hour ice race, and it started in Grand Prairie, well, Claremont Lake in 1985. And it has continued since then, and it has went through a few different hosts. But then we found out it went back to Claremont Lake in 2024, so we kind of wanted to follow that whole story along and tell the whole history.
What, like, initially kind of brought you to the story?
It was actually my husband. His dad raced in it in the 90s, and he told me about it, and I was kind of fascinated with the whole concept. And we've always talked about potentially doing the story. And what actually ended up happening is we did a documentary on Wapiti Off-Road Association in 2023. And during our interviews with them, they actually ended up getting asked to take over the race. So it was kind of a perfect alignment at that time. So we continued working with them to tell this second story.
What is your favorite thing that maybe you learned or while talking to people you kind of realized while working on this project? So maybe your favorite interesting fact.
There's two main things that I definitely did learn that fascinated me the most. One, I didn't know that in the 80s and 90s they fundraised for groups, and I learned that when it was in Fairview, they actually raised a lot of money for adult literacy and then the regional science fair. So that was kind of shocking because they actually helped quite a bit of kids. The science fair was canceled at the time in the Peace Country, so they raised money to help get kids to the science fair, and then they ended up winning gold. And then the second one was I went into the documentary thinking it was going to be about racing and competition and everything, but what I found out was more about community and how essentially it was more important to bring people together during the coldest months of the year.
How was it filming locally, going like on location and showing kind of those specific things?
It was, well, it was hard to predict because it's 24 hours, so you don't really know what you're going to capture at all. So I had a team. It was myself and three other people, and we went around and just tried to capture as much as we can at that time. And then, of course, we couldn't predict the temperatures or anything like that. And we just wanted to try and get as close as possible to show the racing and the people involved. And then each, what I find fascinating too, is each person that was there filmed differently. So they all got different shots, and it's almost like a different piece of each artist.
Wow.
Is what I like about it. Yeah.
How was it putting a crew together to tackle this project?
So when I was first trying to put together a crew, there was a few people I asked, and once I tell them, hey, you're going to be on a frozen lake for 24 hours outside, a lot of people were not thrilled about that idea. So actually only one of them stayed with me the whole time, and he ended up doing camera and sound work with me, but the other people did a couple hours. It was actually really hard to put together a crew that wanted to film outside that long.
In post-production, you're adding in music and whatnot, and I know there were some songs from local artists, which was really cool. How did you find them, and how was it working with those musicians?
Yeah, we really like to work with people within the Peace Country, so I always tell people when we're working on films that we do enjoy that, and it was actually in Fairview, my in-laws run a health food store, and Kurt just popped in there one day, and they were talking. And my in-laws let me know that he is a music producer and he would be willing to help out. So they actually put us in contact with one another. And then I reached out to Kurt and he was thrilled to write a song. And then we used a song from the Honey Cowboy Band as well. So it was actually really good. Again, almost coincidental, perfect alignment.
This isn't the first project you've worked on. How was it, I guess, filming here in Alberta and doing more of these local projects? Is there a lot of good resources for local filmmakers?
I would say over the few years, I kind of started dabbling in filming in 2016, and there wasn't as many resources, but I feel that filming in Alberta is becoming more popularized, and there is definitely more resources coming our way, especially its growth in the Calgary area too, and it's kind of trickling through. So, and then we have groups like Prima in Grand Prairie, and then the GPLT also helped show films as well. Like, there's groups that are willing to work locally. So, and then Tell a Story Hive, where we got our funding from, also funds great projects in the Grand Prairie and Peace Country area too. So there is definitely more resources for people to tell stories.
Any advice for prospective filmmakers?
Piece of advice? My piece of advice? Well, my biggest piece of advice is that, you know, if you have an idea and you're very passionate about it, just do it. You know, that would be my biggest piece of advice, because sometimes people are reluctant to share their creativity or their stories. I know sometimes I have some imposter syndrome, but you just kind of get over that hunch and then you just have to do it, because then as you work on these projects, more and more people will become supportive of sharing your creativity with you.
Everything hopefully went smoothly, but were there any obstacles that came up with the project, or maybe any fun stories that happened?
Obstacles. I am sure there were a few. I feel like each project there's a few different obstacles. One of the biggest ones when you're telling sports stories or things that revolve around sports is you have to get a lot of permissions and approvals of logos and everything like that. So one of the biggest ones I was worried about was getting permissions for our photos of Evel Knievel and all the logos on the motocross bikes and everything like that. But we actually ended up getting approval for a lot of them, but some logos did not give us approval. So that's a huge one, I would say, is our biggest, is all those permissions.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's not something, I guess, maybe a typical viewer picks up on, is just how much behind the scenes goes into just showing a logo that maybe someone sees every day normally.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes work that a lot of people don't really think of. A few years ago, the way I learned it, I did a mixed martial arts documentary, and there was a lot of logos there, and I didn't realize we had to get permission from every single one. So I kind of learned from that project.
And of course, if people want to check this thing out, where can they go? Where can they find it? Or where can they find your stuff?
We're going to be applying to film festivals for the spring and summer to be showcased, and then it'll be online in the fall on Tell a Story Hive's YouTube page and then Optics TV.